fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news with the other guy.
Dan Dugan here on 94.1 WGRN, the Green Renaissance. So, and Bob, we've got a guest this week.
We do, which is surprising.
Or maybe two, but anyway.
And it's not Dustin Nana. It's Travis Irvine.
Yes, indeed.
Hello.
Libertarian candidate for governor. And I might add, a proud native of Bexley, Ohio.
That's right. That's where the governor's mansion is. So I'm going to save you money on the U-Haul already.
Uh-huh. All right. Absolutely. I like that.
And you're not a real material guy, so it's probably just a couple Ubers over.
Yeah, a couple of Ubers. Maybe I'll ride my bike. I like walking.
Two
I walk
Ubers.
Here, actually.
Yeah. It's two Ubers away from the Park Street address.
Okay. Now, what possessed you to run for governor of Ohio as the Libertarian candidate?
Well, I've been involved with the Libertarian Party for a long time, about 11 years now. I used to think of myself as a Democrat, probably like you guys. I was very against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
I tend to think of myself as a non-Republican, but anyway.
Yeah, well, you know what? That works, too.
Sure.
And that's how I saw it during the Afghanistan-Iraq wars, very expensive wars and everything. So I essentially thought I was a Democrat because I was against the wars. I was against Bush-Cheney. And then everything I liked about the Democrats turns out they just kind of rolled over and did the same things when it came to the wars, when it came to encroaching on civil liberties. So the big moment that changed me was I heard this guy Ron Paul talking in a Republican debate in May 2007. He was anti-war, pro-civil liberties.
The original Paul.
And I was like,
the
wow.
Last conservative, maybe.
Yeah, I'd say so, especially in Congress.
Well, probably the only actual libertarian in Congress.
Right, yes, absolutely, and consistently so for decades. So after I found out who he was and how he was a libertarian, I switched over to the libertarians, and I've been pretty much hooked ever since. So I ran for mayor, of course, of Bexley in 2007. We got the documentary about that.
But did you run as a libertarian?
I was endorsed by the Libertarians. I was also endorsed by a group called the Central Ohio Green Party, who got back to me the night before the election. So it wasn't I appreciated it, but it was a little late in the game. Either way, they came together. And
that's pretty quick. Usually it's after the election.
After the election, Christmas.
The endorsement goes out.
So, but, you know, I did well there with my first race. You can check out the documentary on Amazon Prime, American Mayor. It shows you how young people can run for local office. I stayed involved. I worked in Capitol Hill in D.C. for a year. Came back to run for Congress as a Libertarian in the 12th District in 2010. You know, fiscal responsibility has always been a big deal to me. In fact, a lot of my ideas, because we had a budget crisis there in Bexley in 2007, a lot of my ideas were actually implemented by the eventual city council and mayor and city hall. And then, you know, when I ran for Congress, I was warning about a $16 trillion national debt under a Democrat president. Of course, now here we are approaching a $22 trillion national debt under a Republican president. So I think these guys need to be better stewards of taxpayer dollars, and I've always felt that way. And, of course, 2012, graduated from Columbia Journalism School. I'm paying for that. That wasn't very financially responsible of me. That was like, you know, $60,000 right there.
But you wouldn't favor the government bailing students out for a trill.
I don't know. That's one of those where I'm like, yeah, I could look the other way.
The other way.
But,
well, there's $2 or $3 trillion missing out there from the military.
I know.
I'm thinking if you find that, you
just
wouldn't mind if they actually bailed out the student loans.
Right, and that's one of those nice areas that libertarians and progressives agree. If we could just find a way to not spend $700 billion a year on the military, maybe we could take care of the student loan crisis or the housing crisis or the medical crisis, whether you're putting that money back.
Or the environment.
You're not one of those map-driven libertarians, are you?
Map.
The kind that looks and says ocean, friendly. We probably don't need $700 billion to protect our borders.
Right, yeah. Well, I do love maps and oceans and protecting our borders, but yeah, it shouldn't cost $700 billion to do it a year. So that's one of those nice areas. Libertarians feel that money could be back in taxpayer pockets. Greens and progressives feel that money could be pumped into better social causes. I think if we go half and half, either way, it's a win-win, and we're not invading the world. So, you know, I worked for Gary Johnson's campaigns in 2012 and 2016. I ran the anti-John Kasich PAC, Central Ohioans Countering Kasich, in 2014. So I'm experienced in Ohio politics. And when this came up, you know, the libertarians are, and you guys as well, are all dealing with the mighty 3% rule here, thanks to SB 193, where basically the Green Party candidate, as well as myself, we have to get 3% this year to preserve ballot access for the next 4 years.
And that is important.
It's a ridiculous rule.
To have real choices.
Absolutely. It's a ridiculous rule. I do wonder if it's kind of a blessing and a curse. Where
that's a ridiculous rule, but nonetheless, they need to achieve
that. We have to do it. Yeah, yeah. So we're working hard to achieve that, and I think the weird blessing about it is that a lot of other people, you know, we get a lot of Republicans who don't like DeWine. We got some Democrats who don't like Cordray. We got the usual independents, libertarians, and non-voters, and we got a lot of new voters, you know, young people voting for the first time. And I think everyone understands at least this year's not purely a wasted vote. DeWine and Cordray are two terrible candidates, and so at least if they vote for the Green or the Libertarian, they're giving us ballot access for the next 4 years.
Can I just ask one question, though?
Only one, though, Dan.
Based
you only
on
get
the fact,
one.
Well, there's only one really burning from a rumor I heard. Mm-hmm. Okay, based on the fact you made a documentary about running for mayor, and you have the award-winning Raccoon movie.
Right.
The rumor that you're just doing this, running for governor, to make another movie.
Oh, no.
The hidden raccoon agenda.
This is a big question. Raccoon. I'm pinning him to the wall.
I'm
here.
In with Big Raccoon. No, I am actually too busy.
Big Raccoon, that's
I'm
right.
I'm too busy finishing my Killer Raccoon sequel.
There you go.
You know, I made the first one in college, and we made the documentary in 2007 about the mayor run. You know, it's kind of interesting.
And are you making a film about
The governor run? No. No, I'm too busy.
Maybe?
I am not at all. No, okay. I'm too busy finishing the sequel to the Raccoon movie to be focused on
Big Raccoon.
Making a documentary about the governor run. And, you know, it is too serious, I think, to divide my interests too much. On this race, I will say though I am making my own campaign commercials. I guarantee I'm the only candidate writing, producing, editing his own commercials. And by the way, we just raised enough money to put them on TV, so they're on Fox News and CNBC and Toledo, Cincinnati, Mansfield, and Chillicothe, and those ad areas
and
right now.
What's your going key agenda line. Items? What are you running on for governor? What do you intend to do?
Well, you know, there's a lot of crossover again between Connie's interest and myself in terms of criminal justice reform. Certainly, we want to start treating the opioid problem as a health problem and not a criminal problem. That's both a progressive and a conservative way of fixing that. You know, we spend over $500 million a year on keeping nonviolent drug offenders in prison, so we got to reform that. Also, I think another thing we both agree on is fast-tracking the medical marijuana program to deal with the opioid crisis in states where they have medical or legal marijuana, which I am for either one. You know, the opioid crisis is 25% less deadly, harmful, and expensive. So that's a way, you know, to not just give people a safer legal alternative, but then you can also make tax revenue off of it and put that back into treatment and rehabilitation.
There
so
you
you're saving money all around and making money on these two issues. Maybe some areas where we disagree on with the Greens, of course, Medicaid expansion. I am the only candidate who will roll back John Kasich's unconstitutional Medicaid expansion. It's not because I don't want poor people to have health care. It's just I find government health care, especially in this country more than others, is always written by the big corporate interests, big insurance, big pharmaceutical, big health care companies. And, you know,
well,
yes,
that's all you've got left if you take away the Medicaid. Right?
Well, no, that's the thing.
That's the option.
Well, I would
not the government then.
What I would do is roll back the expansion and only sign legislation that opens up the healthcare industry to free market interest. Essentially, we need
it's
to
not right now.
No. We right now it's so regulated. Ohioans can't buy insurance across state lines. They can't buy different plans, coverage plans that offer just catastrophic care. You know, it's kind of like auto insurance, right? You get your bare minimum, and then you never have to use it, and it's more affordable that way. And then you can buy it from other states. It's more affordable that way as well.
But why not go with a small government libertarian plan like the Canadian, which has only about 5% bureaucratic overhead?
Well, sure. I mean, look, we need reform in it no matter what. But
I mean,
I
they've
open
left the health providers private. Right. I mean, what they really did was nationalize or socialize insurance. And so there's a single form, right?
And as long as there's a real alternative, because the thing the Republicans have consistently been doing is criticizing Obamacare, as it's called, and having no real alternative to it.
Yeah, exactly. And at least the libertarians, we want to open up the market and give people more options. And certainly prescription drugs are the same way. I mean, this is an issue where Bernie Sanders and Ted Cruz agreed in a CNN town hall, but the federal government hasn't done anything on it, and that is Ohioans should be able to buy prescription drugs from Canada and other countries. This is an idea that Jared Polis in Colorado has actually put up as he's running for governor there as a Democrat.
They shouldn't be arrested like those old people from Cleveland that got on the bus and got in trouble?
No. I think, you know, we should open up, again, the market. And what you'll see when you do this, you'll see...
Would that include marijuana because it's legal up in Canada?
Well, yeah. I mean, hopefully you get all of that on the same page. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean... You'll be
slow system in Ohio.
Yeah, and what you're doing there is cutting costs for the consumers when it comes to insurance and prescription drugs, and I think it would be a lot better all around. And you're not throwing away hundreds of millions of dollars, which is what's happening with Kasich's Medicaid program now. You know, the PBMs are stealing $225 million a year just by being middlemen. CVS lobbyists are getting exclusive contracts for HIV and cancer medicines, and they're charging five to six times the market value. So the key word here is market value, and I think we got to get back to that for the people of Ohio.
Last minute, how can like people get in touch with your campaign? Where can they go for info?
You can check us out at IrvineForOhio.com. We got a lot of good platform positions there. A little bit of the red, a little bit of the blue. That's why our campaign colors are purple. That's just good color math right there for you. And if you want to find out about our other candidates, you can go to LPO.org or VoteFreeOhio.com. And absolutely, vote different this year. It's not a wasted vote. Vote third party. Give us ballot access for the next 4 years.
And that is fabulous. Travis Irvine,
the underdog,
running for governor on the Libertarian Party.
I should say one of two underdogs for governor.
We got a lot of underdogs this year.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. Thanks a lot for being on the other side of the news. WGRN 94.1, the Green Renaissance.
Yes, indeed. The other side of the news. We have the original host of the other side of the news, or one of the co-host, your original co-host, right?
Hello.
Indeed, yes. It was Bob and Connie.
Yes.
Or as we used to like to call it, Barb and Johnny.
Connie Gadel Newton. That's good.
Yeah, so my autocorrect kept calling Bob Barb recently.
And I was thinking, how did she know I was trans fluid?
Whoa. Didn't know that myself. That's always good information.
I just assumed as much.
Does Suzanne know this?
That's because you're just into gender. You're the other guy.
That's how I've always been, yeah.
You're not like Connie, who's known as Shim.
Whoa. Well, that'll get some votes.
Well, she is, though, as part of your campaign. What do you think of an idea like Trump with making everyone's gender at birth?
All right. Hi, this is Constance Goodell Newton. I'm the Green Party candidate for governor. And I do, support LGBT rights and recognize fluidity of gender. I think that, you know, we live right now, the dominant dialogue has been binary gender, but millennials are really starting to recognize that gender is a lot more fluid. And, you know, I came out of the radical feminist movement as a women's studies student. And so, you know, I've studied gender since college. And so it is very interesting. I think that we can all be the people that we want to be, despite gender, despite, you know, what society says about our bodies and the symbol, you know, our body is a symbol, a gendered symbol. So we can really break out of those molds.
Being an older dude, you know, I used to refer to myself, still do, as by myself. But, you know, there are more terms, it seems, now. So I get confused. I'll just remain by myself. How's that?
So what's your platform? What are the big issues you're running on as the Green Party candidate for governor?
Thanks, Bob. Well, we are running on a platform of universal or single-payer health care, an immediate moratorium on fracking and injection wells in Ohio. We want to protect our water in Ohio as a human right and make sure that all Ohioans have access to water. Yeah. Also, on farming, we want to promote organic family farms. And our view is that we have enough farmland in Ohio that no child should ever have to go hungry. About 1 in 5 children lives in a food insecure household. We would be... We would promote a farm-to-school position in the Department of Agriculture to facilitate bringing healthy organic food to children in school. In Columbus here, we're in a school district where enough kids are low income that everybody, they pretty much just give everybody a free school lunch and breakfast. We need to make sure that that is good quality food.
Yeah.
We are also, you know, looking at criminal justice issues. So the we have an anti-incarceration focus to our platform. So really going beyond prison reform and acknowledging the history of Jim Crow law and, you know, the... You know, we're really for the abolition of the institution of the prison.
Well beyond issue one.
Right, well beyond issue one. Issue one is great, but it's just a start. It makes drug possession a misdemeanor, which I think is definitely a step in the right direction. We want to treat drug addiction as a healthcare issue, not a criminal issue. We cannot incarcerate our way out of the opiate epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I'm definitely in favor of issue one. It's a baby step in the right direction.
What do you think of something like Portugal that doesn't arrest anybody for drug possession?
Yeah, you know, I think that they have the right idea. We need to start making treatment really accessible. And there are some countries where they have, not only are drugs legal, but if you need to, you know, shoot up heroin, that they have nursing facility assisted places where you can go and do that safely. There are some places in the United States where they've started needle exchanges. And, you know, I think that we need to look to these other examples for progressive solutions to our drug issue and really treat that as a healthcare issue.
Well, Britain has long treated it that way, and shockingly, they found their heroin addicts actually held down jobs and matured out a bit.
One can function.
Yeah, I mean, I think that certainly there are people who are dependent on various substances. Maybe that is because they have had a surgery or a pain issue. And so if they're able to manage their medication with the help of a doctor and medical staff, they could certainly hold down a job. However, if you force somebody into the street and into a life of crime so that they can get a controlled substance, then that is going to push it down into the black market. And that's something that really impacts, you know, our crime levels on the whole and the economy in Ohio.
Yeah, I once saw a study saying the average heroin addict committed 10,000 petty property crimes. If he had access to the drug as medicine, you know, you would save that cost, as well as, of course, the disease, any problem with being involved in prostitution because you're desperate as a drug addict, if we saw it as a medical problem. So you don't have any problem with that approach.
Right. And, you know, you know, continuing with that, human trafficking is such an issue in Ohio. So I'd like to talk just a minute about that. I'm a juvenile attorney, and I represent young women who have been caught up in human trafficking, recommending, you know, treatment for their best interests as a guardian ad litem. And I think that it's really essential that we move to respecting women's rights to a living wage. You know, we'd like to see the minimum wage raised to $15 an hour.
Here, here.
That's something that will help a lot of women. It's mostly women who work in low-wage, minimum-wage jobs. And so raising the minimum wage is something that is going to drastically help women It will help them leave domestically violent relationships and help them avoid issues with human trafficking. And healthcare is a huge issue. A lot of human trafficking does occur because there's some connection with drug abuse, that pimps can use drugs to entrap women into that type of lifestyle.
We want to remind
you,
if they
were protected by the police and it was legal and they were just sex workers like in Holland, would that be acceptable?
Well, yeah, you know, there are places where sex workers have unions, where they stand up for their rights, where that type of work is legal and regulated. I think that that is definitely something to look at. When we criminalize everything in our society, it makes everyone basically a criminal at some point in their lives. And I think that, you know, we all try to be law-abiding citizens, but you know, in some way or another, if everything is criminalized, that is going to make everyone a criminal. And I don't think that that is the type of America that we want to live in. In this land of the free, where we have the largest prison population in the world, yeah, something really needs to change. You know, we always, as Americans, talk about our freedoms and liberties. But if you look at how free we actually are, we have the highest population of incarcerated people. So I'd say the threat to our freedom is not coming from the outside, it's coming from our government.
4% of the world's population, 25% of the incarcerated, one of the greatest police states on earth. You're listening to Constance Cadell Newton, Green Party candidate for governor.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What are some other issues? It seems like you're.
I think most people think of the Green Party as in the environment. That's
right.
Always been what,
yes,
I most associate Green Party with.
So would you keep the Department of Natural Resources regulating fracking as opposed to the EPA,
yeah,
and the health department?
So one thing that I have found out about in my legal career and in my activism is that the Ohio Department of Natural Resources accepts funding per barrel of frack waste that we take from out of state and put into our injection wells here in Ohio, polluting and our water and endangering the public. So I would definitely change the mission of the Ohio Department of Natural Resource from exploitation of our land and our natural resources to a more conservation-oriented department. And I think that it should be a no-brainer that the Department of Natural Resources should really focus on conservation of wildlife, wild spaces, make sure that our wildlife is protected and that we have an angle on conservation, not just exploiting our natural resources for the most profit. In addition to banning fracking, we really support workers. So I think that a lot of times there's this divide and conquer strategy where the dominant ideology is pitting workers and environment against each other. But really, under capitalism, big out-of-state corporations are exploiting the land and exploiting workers for the most profit. So we really have to join together and see where our common interests are. And I, as governor, would like to promote a green energy platform. I think that Ohio can become a leader in green energy, that we wind turbine manufacturing is one of the fastest growing industries.
And yeah, I've been up in northwestern Ohio. It's amazing how many
it is, and that can, you know, when those wind turbines and the wind industry is commonly owned, that can really bring in a lot of revenue for municipalities.
Right.
And you know, I just think that we can become a leader in manufacturing and have worker-owned and union manufacturing plants, and really make that a locally owned stream of revenue for Ohioans.
Yeah.
All right. What else is on the agenda if you get elected governor on Tuesday?
Well, what have we not talked about yet?
Yes.
Education. We've got an unconstitutional education system based on the wealth of homes.
Yes, that's
how do
something
you feel?
That's something that we've looked into, and we want to move to a constitutional school funding model that is not based on property taxes. And to do this, I think that it's really essential to restore the local government fund. We want to restore local government funding so that local municipalities have the funding that they need to fund their schools not based on property taxes. We also want free education from preschool to college. And I would like to see, daycare and preschool programs at colleges so that young parents can go to college knowing that their children are safe, so that, as a woman, I've had to choose a career or a family, and I've chosen, I guess a career, so I'm still waiting on the family. But I think that women should be able to have it all, and that we need to support parents and by having daycare accessible at college campuses.
And daycare is a profession. If you raise the price of that and don't exploit the labor, primarily women, tremendous job growth, I would think, in that area.
Right. Raising the minimum wage and making sure that workers have their needs taken care of. So raising the minimum wage, having affordable housing available, having health care available, and an array of benefits. Now, the question always is, with this idealistic platform, how are you going to pay for it? And that's something that we've looked into and researched. And what I would say is that with all the fraud, corruption, and abuse in our privatized industries and with private prisons and privatized schools, we need to stop the bleeding. There is enough money to go around for the social programs and for the programs that we want. But we need to put a priority on human needs and human rights and stop giving away our money to big corporations.
Yeah, and schools like the ECOT school system, the charter school.
Right, that's an example of something that was run for profit, and they're basically just stealing the money from kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, how can people get in touch with you? Look up more information on you?
Yeah, please check out our website, constanceforohio.org. We have more information about our platform, a form where you can leave your contact information and write and say hello or leave us a comment. Of course, we're all people funded. We don't take any corporate donations. So if you could make a donation on the website, that would definitely still help, even at this late stage in the game.
There you go.
And we also have a lot of interviews and things like that online. So some of those are on our website. If you Google my name, Constance Goodell Newton, you'll find interviews with Jimmy Dore and the Young Turks and a variety of other interviews on TV and radio.
There you go.
And what's it been like to run for governor?
Well, it's been a marathon. I've been in it really for the long haul for over a year and a half now. It's been very exciting. I've met a lot of people around the state of Ohio. It's been very encouraging. People really seem to love to hear what we have to say once they find out what we're about. And the challenge is really just getting the word out. So thank you, Bob and Dan, for having me on your show. It's been really great talking with you, and I'm really happy that I'm able to tell everybody about our platform with the Green Party.
All right.
Constance Goodell Newton, Green Party candidate for governor and the original co-host of The Other Side of the News.
Thanks.
And vote, vote, and vote.
Yes, vote. Vote green.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.